It's another Sunday night watching the superstars fight. You know it's what we love to do. Talking about NXT or WWE, and we can't forget about AEW.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Cup.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Cup.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Connection.
Because I have a sinking suspicion that this episode of Viewer's Choice is going to be much, much better than last night's episode of Viewer's Choice. Is that safe to say as I see you sip your Confederate champagne?
That good Dixieland delight.
Yes. Welcome to Viewer's Choice here live on the North-South Connection. I am Tim.
I am Marcus.
As we're talking about NXT TakeOver 36 live from the Capitol Wrestling Center in lovely Orlando, Florida.
It is lovely. Big fan.
Why do you have such a stink eye?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
No, it was a good, it honored the storylines. The night honored the storylines. I will say that.
And also, nothing really stunk.
No, there's no stinkers.
Yeah, nothing stunk.
But it's an NXT TakeOver. You know,
yes, but also considering that this is considered, quote, the end of the era.
Oh, it is.
Oh, for sure. Did you, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we saw and what we liked and didn't like from TakeOver 36, did you by chance happen to watch or listen to any of the parts of the Ariel Helwani, Nick Khan 24-minute interview?
I did see some sound bites, some clips of that interview.
I watched all 24 minutes.
Good.
What
were your takeaways?
Nick Khan comes across as rather likable. I can understand why WWE and Vince McMahon and Triple H and everyone would have taken a liking to him. He shares a lot of the same core values and tenets that a McMahon would, with no competition and not looking to your left and to your right, being a person who drives things forward. But also, like, it kind of felt like a fluff piece, especially since at the very beginning of the interview, Ariel Helwani says, for full disclosure, before Nick Khan was the president and CFO of CRO of World Wrestling Entertainment, he was my agent at CAA.
Mm.
That's why Ariel Helwani got the piece. That's why everything is where it is.
Right. And I saw some of the questions he asked. They were done with journalistic integrity. It's not like he came straight down the barrel with anything like that was challenging, I would say. Like he threw a little bit of heat, but it was straight down the middle of the plate.
It felt very much like the first at bat between the ace pitcher and like the three or four hitter in a lineup. First inning, you know, I'm not going to show you any of my breaking stuff. It's going to be maybe fastball changeup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I'm not throwing you anything nasty. But yeah, the only reason I bring it up is because he was talking about the remodel of NXT. Mm-hmm. The new look, the new feel, the new everything. And what a way to kick off a new era of NXT than with Samoa Joe as your champion.
I do think Samoa Joe as champion gives some sort of, I don't know if stability is the right word. I don't know if credibility is the right word. It's a better anchor, I think, in the water. There's a lot of changes, a lot of moving pieces. For the record, I would like to say that it sucks. The releases sucked. I don't like how they went about it. I had a lot of friends lose jobs. I had a lot of peers lose jobs. Absolutely sucks.
Correct.
So I want to get that off my chest first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, a lot of them are doing better, or they will be doing better. but the way they went about it absolutely sucks. Now, I will say this. For the last 10 years, WWE has been going the route of let's get the hottest, freshest name on the indies in here, and let's see if we can turn them into a WWE superstar. If I am inside WWE and I think the WWE way, I would say that that method has not produced a John Cena, a Brock Lesnar, a Randy Orton, a Dave Bautista. And those are like the four pillars of WWE developmental.
Especially since like 2000s.
Yes.
Like since the beginning of developmental. Like
right. Those are the four pillars. And
what's kind of crazy is, would you possibly say that like the most successful WWE superstar that has been churned out since NXT has come into fruition, would you say that's Baron Corbin?
From being featured on NXT TV to being featured on WWE TV.
Yes,
it is Baron Corbin. Like obviously the first answer, I think like Roman, Big E, but like even a Big E was champion. He wasn't an NXT super work rate, super indie style NXT.
It wasn't the revisioned NXT.
Right. It wasn't the takeover era NXT. And same for Roman.
Correct. We'll say takeover era, because that's really when it all starts.
Right. Network era, if you will.
Right. So it's Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin isn't an indie darling.
No.
Everyone else...
I think he's a really good worker. I like Baron Corbin.
I love Baron Corbin.
Like him a lot.
I love him better than Walter.
Cosign.
There you go. And more on him in a bit. But let's get into what we liked and we didn't like. What's must watch and must skip from TakeOver.
Talking about the possible end of an era. As they referenced on commentary, the end of this chapter, the beginning of the next chapter for NXT.
Right.
They said that several times. So excited to get into it, buddy.
Now, I might just bring an end to this podcast really soon, because I don't think there is anything that is must watch or must skip from this takeover. To me, this takeover felt like a super episode of NXT television. It felt like Great American Bash. It felt like Halloween Havoc. It felt like a named NXT television show. That's not to say that the matches didn't deliver. I thought that the women's title match was solid. I thoroughly enjoyed Cameron Grimes and LA Knight. Dragunov and Walter impressed me. My jury is still out on how great Walter is, because I want to see him wrestle people his size.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's okay to be the big guy who just sits there and just beats up the little guys and then has the little guys throw all of their weight at you. But how are you going to do when you're up against a Karrion Kross or a Keith Lee or Randy Orton?
Mm-hmm. Sheamus.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like
talking about pale dudes beating up on each other. That's the one.
That's it. That's for sure it. The NXT title world title match was solid, and Cole and O'Reilly was what it was. It felt a little safe considering what they could have done, you know? It felt like we were moving people to the next station. No risk, no harm done. Very safe across the board, except for the two people who aren't going anywhere. Walter and Dragunov beat the dog out of each other. They're not going anywhere. But every other match, there is probably a moving piece in each of those matches. Maybe not the $1 million title match, but who knows?
You're right.
Who knows where LA Knight goes? He's charismatic. He is a WWE superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like to admit it or not, he has that. While I don't like him, I can't deny his charisma, and it can definitely be channeled and honed on the main roster in front of a live crowd. So, I mean, am I wrong in my assessment that there's nothing that's must watch or must skip?
I don't, but if I'm going to look at this show as, okay, I'm going to watch NXT TakeOver, either save me the time or don't save me the time, I'm going to say my must watch, at least my first one, I'm going to say it's the Million Dollar Championship, the opener.
I would say if I gun to my head, I had to pick a match, that is the one that is must see.
And for me, it's because this is like why storylines are beautiful, because these were like two dudes that I just were just not for me.
Yeah, very much so.
Just not for me. No, it's okay. Just not for me. Not moving the needle, not doing anything for me. But they got him in a storyline. They got the Million Dollar Man in. They got the Million Dollar Title in. It's a good smattering of nostalgia to help him out. And we have seen the character development with everybody involved, including Ted DiBiase. And it gave a good conclusion. And I was invested. And now I'm interested in seeing where everybody goes from this. I really liked it. It got me sucked in. LA Knight has started to grow on me. He is a very formulaic pro wrestler. And I don't mean that in a negative. I mean, he is a very ABC pro wrestler. This is how a pro wrestler talks. This is how a pro wrestler walks. This is how a pro wrestler wrestles. He is very, like, station to station pro wrestling.
Creator wrestler wrestler.
Yeah.
Like generic. He's not gonna do any... Generic, yes. Creator wrestler wrestler.
Generic, but like, okay, it works because he's good at it.
Right.
Yeah, he's good. He's good at it. So LA Knight is growing on me. I'm glad Cameron Grimes has like evolved his character a little bit from like guy with a hat,
country boy hat guy, to the moon.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that was a must watch. Do you have another must watch or must skip?
I don't. If I had to pick a must skip, I'm probably, unfortunately, going to take the NXT Women's Title match.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is where we will differ. I would say that's a must watch.
I know wrestling isn't ballet. And I know that, you know, it can get kind of, you got to break a couple eggs to make an omelet. You know what I mean? But while they did show signs of compatibility and connection between each other in the ring, I didn't feel like this was their best showing. And I'm picking it because, it's a must skip. Like, what is must skip? Like, maybe
right,
if
we
I
don't really have a medium given the format,
right?
You know, it's either so a must watch or must skip.
Now I'm going through my head again. You made me second guess myself. So I think maybe I'm being too unfair to the ladies. So I think I might change my answer. It's definitely not must watch, but given the capabilities of the two in the ring, I think Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole might be must skip.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Like,
it was for what was called the undisputed finale, for what was to be the blow off of all blow offs in the biggest blood feud in NXT history, with the longest history of best friends turned bitter rivals, the anticlimactic falls in the first and the third fall for Kyle O'Reilly. Your babyface strikes lightning in a bottle twice over Adam Cole, like gets lucky twice, no real decisive victory. Like he counters Panama Sunrise for the first fall, catches Cole off guard.
He out wrestles the bad guy. I have no problem with that fall.
The third
fall. It is a little bit of a gotcha.
It is very gotcha, considering that Cole was pretty much in control of that first fall. And then third fall, Kyle O'Reilly's pretty much dead on the ropes, handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs Cole, puts his knee into obliviacry.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Philadelphia witnessed it live.
And maybe it was because I set my expectations in a different manner for this match. I thought that it was definitely going to go an extra 20 minutes. I thought that the falls were going to play as it was, but I think this leans towards it being safe. Cole is obviously going somewhere. We don't know if it's to the main roster or if it's to the main roster of another program. We don't know where he goes. If you read Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter, it could be somewhere else with a grouping of guys. Who knows? But
this, I'm going to take a little quick detour.
Go ahead.
And this match and its placement, it's like the opposite of what makes NXT TakeOver so good. And Triple H has even said this in conference calls. Like, he viewed TakeOver as kind of like UFC main cards, where you don't see all the top acts on every TakeOver. But because they are so thin with all of the releases and the random call-ups and everything else going on there, they kind of had to put this match on this card. And it should have been the main event if it's going to be the ultimate finale or the undisputed finale. Should have been the main event. Or maybe this is the match you put on TV and you give them an hour.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's what should have been done, and I would have put that six-man tag on this card.
I would have, because everything on this card was for a title. You put that six-man tag after the million-dollar title, and then you have the women go before the main, and that's your card. Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row have absolutely earned a spot on this TakeOver card, and they didn't get it. Who knows why? Maybe they thought that they were going to try to put their best foot forward and provide the biggest matches they could for TakeOver, but yeah, who knows? Is there anything else that you would say is must watch or must skip?
Because
I mean, it's five matches, so it's
yeah. I did. I want to backtrack to the women. I would give them a must watch. I really enjoyed it. Maybe because I enjoyed like the struggle between Raquel and Dakota. Like, even with the finish, it's not like Raquel just scooped her up and hit her with the power bomb or whatever. Like, there was an actual struggle there. And there was a disconnect with commentary, because commentary was like, oh, Raquel made it look like effortless. And I'm like, did you not see the struggle of her like picking Dakota up and then like getting her up and then hitting the power bomb and then like the exhausted cover? Like, that's not effortless. Like, they missed an opportunity there to put over like how deep Raquel had to dig for this victory. But I like the continued progression of Dakota and of Raquel. I'm excited to see Dakota probably, hopefully, move up to Raw or SmackDown. And we'll see where Raquel goes from here. Like, they brought out Kaylee Ray from NXT UK. I'm sure that'll be good.
Right.
You know, she's really solid. She's really good too. So, I'm going to just say must skip to Walter and the other dude, Ilya.
I don't think it's a must skip.
Here's why it's a must skip for me. You're not going to get a reaction from me because pale people change colors. If Big E and Apollo Crews go out there and have that same exact match, who cares, right? Because you're looking at like blood blisters, and that's all anybody's putting over is the discoloration. They went with choke versus choke finisher, which is the same exact story that the main event is going to tell. And you know that. I don't know why that match had to have a choke so heavily featured as like the centerpiece of that matchup. Who's going to choke who out? Thought that was a lazy and bad call. Walter hit an apron powerbomb, which I know NXT and WWE TV aren't exactly tied together. But apron powerbomb to me is a kill finish. And Walter finally hits the chop, which they'd been building for like the first act of the match. Walter hits the chop, sends the dude tumbling down. Walter goes out, picks him up, hits the apron powerbomb, puts him in the ring, and then tries to get the choke on and then can't. Like, huh? You could have just rolled him in after the chop, made the chop mean a lot more, especially if he's just going to roll out of the choke. Like, I'm just not into. He's supposed to be the ring general, but at least from what I saw, he just kept trying to hit the other dude really hard. I'm like, you're the ring general, not the ring hit people really hard, dude. Right. Like ring general, wouldn't you change your strategy, a little strategery here?
Right.
Especially since you struggled in the first matchup where you two just beat the crap out of each other and you're struggling in the second matchup. I don't know. And I'm probably looking way too deep into it.
I mean, you're definitely looking at it analytically, and I'm there too. The only reason why I'm not putting it in either category is because I know that it's entertaining to a market of fans. Like, usually when I go must watch or must skip, it's something that's for the general audience that I know that's something that everyone will either like or generally dislike. And I think that there are people who like, I'm going to use a phrase, but it's going to be a little blasphemous towards one half of this group, but people like big meaty men slapping meat. And while Ilya is not necessarily a big meaty man, they are slapping meat. There is a lot of fighting spirit, strike heavy, influential matchups here. If no selling is for you, this is it. If you like little guys doing big man stuff to big guys, this is for you. But that's just me. Like I said,
match was just way too close to what the main event was going to give. And I thought it was a bad call to have it on the same show.
Yeah. Like, to me, again, I want to see Walter do something with somebody his own size. So where I don't have to necessarily suspend my disbelief as much as I do. Because everyone that I've seen him go against has either been like Pete Dunne or Ilya or Tommaso Ciampa. All guys who are significantly smaller than him, And yeah, that's it.
Man, Bronson Reed would have been a great option, but
I don't know who he is. I know some guy named Jonah. Yeah.
All caps. Can't wait for that dude.
Can't wait for Jonah. But that's about it. I don't know if there's anything else really for this takeover that we need to like really break down.
I'll hit must skip on the main event too. Samoa Joe wins Muscle Buster. Yay.
I don't want to put it in must skip or must watch because it was very nice to see Samoa Joe come back and do his thing after 18 months of not being in the ring. Good to see that the rust is not there. He is not so much.
Okay.
It's Joe in his later form. Like
that's a good way to put it.
It is definitely, it's less, people think that Samoa Joe is still doing stuff from like his ROH days and like his high impact TNA days. No, Joe is a settled down old man who does the stuff he does. And that's it.
He's worked on his breaking pitches.
Yeah.
He's more about movement, less about velocity.
I'm here to command the plate. He's very much Greg Maddux right now. Like, he's like, I'm going to paint the corners and we're going to get what we need to get. And then I'm going to throw the fastball to establish dominance in the count. And that's it. That's all.
it was a nice moment, Joe winning. And I admittedly, like, Samoa Joe's fine for me. I got no problem with Samoa Joe.
Better him than Karrion Kross.
Without question, because I was almost sold that the leader into the next chapter of NXT, which appears to be more white dudes that are 6'2", 250. I was like, well, that seems to be like the captain of them.
Right. For sure.
I'm glad it's going to be Samoa Joe.
Yes. Let us know where you guys shake out on everything with Takeover 36 at VC on North South Viewers Choice Podcast at gmail.com for everything else. I think that about wraps it up for us here tonight. I'm very glad that it's an earlier night compared to where we were last night. But that's neither here nor there. We didn't get a chance to talk about how JT does owe us for double pay since the show went into two nights. So we're covering double nights work. Hopefully the check's in the mail. And technically we're working twice on a weekend. So we need that double shot money, brother.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. NorthSouthConnection.podbean.com is your home for this podcast and so many others. Just top to bottom full of retro wrestling goodness, current wrestling goodness, pop cultural goodness. Really anything that your heart could desire, it's going to be there. I know we're looking forward to a pet project that the North-South Connection is working on starting up in September for a couple of underserved eras of wrestling. Especially Marcus and I are working on an era of wrestling that is near and dear to our hearts. We're excited to share that with you come Labor Day weekend. Speaking of Labor Day weekend, that's when we'll be back, as AEW All Out will air from the Now Center in Chicago, Illinois. Is it the Now Center or the Now Arena? I think it's the Now Center in lovely Chicago, Illinois. CM Punk, Darby Allin, a bunch of others, Kenny Omega and Christian Cage, just to name a few. We look forward to being back here with you all for that. If you want to follow us on social media, you can. At Another Tool Man for me, at VC on North South for the podcast, The Wrestling Speakeasy for Marcus, if you know, you know. A shout out to our pod adjacent friends that are off the network, At Odds with Wrestling, We Need Wrestling, Viewers Choice, that's us, Three Count Thursday, Pod Van Dam, The A Show, and Hit My Music, which will also be coming out during Labor Day weekend, with the Jingle Meister, the official third man of this podcast and our other podcast, Final Wrestling Place, David Kincannon. He's responsible for the imaging for this podcast, for our other podcast over on the soon-to-be-named network, Final Wrestling Place, and many other podcasts on and off the network. David Cannon, the best we can, best you can get, responsible for the theme song you're listening to right now.
Aura.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. So, for Marcus, I'm Tim. This has been Viewer's Choice Episode 15, Breaking Down TakeOver 36. We'll see you back here for All Out. And until then, just remember,
the choice is yours.